Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hey, welcome in to the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser, intern Robert here with you on this Friday morning. We got a lot to get into today on the program. And we are a little bit more than 24 hours away from our first college football Saturday of the year. The first college football Thursday was fun.
It was.
I really enjoyed it. College football is back, baby. And I could not be happier about it. Joe Rexroad, how we doing? What's going on?
Yep. No, it was an interesting night. I mean, NC State, much more interesting game than a lot of people would have guessed against Western Carolina. They ended up pulling away. But I don't know, man. That wasn't I look at their defense and I think about Tennessee's offense. I mean, you know, this happens all the time. You watch the team one time and you overreact. But
I got a Rob rant coming up at 7:45 about it.
I'm here for it. But Colorado, North Dakota State was lived up to the billing. Shedeur Sanders lived up to the billing. Travis Hunter lived up to the billing. Colorado's defense
lived up to the billing.
North Dakota State is very good. Colorado threw on first down late, which I have no idea what the heck they were doing. That could have been bad.
Which, by the way, they threw on first down late. A missed targeting call right before it that was clear. The referee screwed up the clock and cost North Dakota State 4 seconds. And they completed the Hail Mary. It was just 6 yards short of the end zone.
Yeah, it's too bad he couldn't get it to the end zone there, right? But great game. It was fun. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
And, you know, look, for Colorado, I mean, hey, you know, that you lose that game and, I mean, it's just ugly, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's ugly. So to find a way to win that game is a big deal, even if you know, you can – I don't look at that team and think top 25 threat at all or anything like that. But, boy, those two players are great. And Horn is pretty good, too.
Yeah, Horn's good. I mean, you know, Will Shepard, former Vandy receiver, is there. And I'm interested to see how he does this year. But clearly, I mean, they're going to go as far as – Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter take. I mean, Travis Hunter is unbelievable.
He plays every freaking snap.
He does.
It's a little bit concerning. Like, let the guy have a break. Is he on a kickoff too?
They were talking on the broadcast last night. You know, this seems like a lot of calories to me, but I guess it's probably accurate. They said he loses 4,500 calories. He burns 4,500 calories per game. 4,500.
Holy crap.
I was like, geez, that kid can eat whatever he wants.
That's like two of my lunches. Yeah. My goodness. That's impressive, man.
Speaking of, getting lunch today. Keiser paying up on his weekend winner's bet. And
yeah, good timing.
Colorado did not lose, nor did they cover. So I guess Keiser gets that extra slice of pizza. Well done, Nick.
Yeah, that's right. Neither of us won, did we?
Yeah.
Okay. You were... Well, I guess it was about equal. I was going to say you were closer to winning, but I guess I could have won too. They actually were covering
For a while, they were covered.
They were covered for part of the game.
For some, they were losing.
And losing. Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
We're both sort of right and wrong.
Yeah, I mean, last night really didn't change my opinion on them all that much. Like, I think, number one, they'll be fun to watch. I think they're going to be about a 5 or 6 win team. Like, go look at their schedule. And look, shout out to North Dakota State. The reason I picked them to win yesterday is because they're pretty good.
They're like, always good.
For an FCS team, they're pretty good. But, I mean, they are an FCS team. So there is obviously a talent gap there. I think Colorado's going to win about 5 or 6 games. I think that's what they're going to be this year, which would explain why their win total heading into the season was 5.5. I think it's about right.
Well, and there's a big difference between those two, you know, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
It'd be good for Deion Sanders to get to 6.
It would be good for Deion Sanders to get to 6. NC State holds on last night against Western Carolina. So we'll see what that looks like for Tennessee as they take on Tennessee in week 2. But overall, it was just nice to have college football back for another night. Got more action coming up tonight. Games tonight. Friday night college football.
Which I'm with Big Joe. I do not like.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it.
Do not like it all. In fact, yeah, I mean, I know, well, you know, we got a big one. We got a big one over at Nolensville High School against Antioch. All the local prep writers. I've seen the billboard material. They're all picking Antioch.
Wow.
They're all picking Antioch. But, you know, my child, of course, is like, you know, when's the Michigan State? Yeah, well, it's during your game, so you're going to miss it. Sorry.
You're going to have a problem.
But they always do that on Labor Day weekend. Michigan State does.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Michigan State plays tonight. Oklahoma and Temple playing tonight. Wisconsin with their Friday night game. Stanford TCU for the nightcap tonight at 9:30. Could be interesting.
That's not too bad. What happened? I don't even know what happened with North Carolina, Minnesota.
I did not watch a ton of that game. North Carolina won 19-17.
Okay. Nope, not rowing the boat. Huh?
It was an interesting uniform matchup.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't watch any of it. I was locked in on the Buffs.
I had the YouTube TV offers that split screen where you can watch like 4 and 1. I had it on that. It was good stuff.
I tried to do that, but they did not have – what I hate is I wish they'd let you customize it because – they didn't have one that had all three of those, which was
right.
North Carolina, NC State, and then the Colorado one. They had a bunch that had two of them, but I was like, well, if I can't get all three, I'm just going to stick with – and then NC State started to get some separation, so I was like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's a great thing. It's a great thing for the NFL and for college football. The four, you can watch 4 at once.
Yeah.
And put it on what sound of whatever one you want. So, free ads.
So, in other news, Brandon Ayuk gets his deal done with San Francisco. So, CeeDee Lamb gets his big payday. Ja'Marr Chase has at least shown up to Bengals camp, which camp is now over at this point. But he showed up the last couple of days of camp, has been practicing. No deal yet on him. And Ayuk signs the deal, 4 years, $120 million, breaks down to $30 million per year. And according to reports, it's like the same offer that's been on the table from San Francisco for months at this point. He went out.
Or at least this month, yeah.
Yeah, saw his value and then eventually gets the deal done with San Francisco. So in some ways, it kind of feels like a gigantic waste of time that we've gotten to this point with Brandon Ayuk. But I guess congratulations for him for not having to go through training camp.
Exactly. Yeah, he's ready for the season. He went out there. He was able to go out there and see. And I understand it's kind of like, man, if you're him, you're his agent, on that team, production is just going to be – it's going to be reduced compared to what it's going to be on other teams. And, you know, the belief is I'm one of those guys, those top guys. You just don't know it because I'm on this team, you know. And the market said, well, you're not quite the top guy, but you're close. So it's not bad. I mean, 30's good, you know. What does that put him about? Probably 7th, 8th right now among receivers. I mean, it's – which this is another example, by the way, of like the latest deal doesn't always go top of market.
Right.
It does often, but it doesn't always. And he's – I think it's a fair – I didn't see the guaranteed number. So here we go. Yeah, no, actually, I mean, the only people ahead of him, he's got the same – if we're going AAV, Amon-Ra and Tyreek, and then, you know, the only guys ahead of him are Jefferson, Lamb, and Brown, and then, you know, Chase will be. So, you know, so he'll be fifth if we're worried about what you're getting per year. Again, the guaranteed money is what really matters.
The guaranteed money is what really matters, and San Francisco finds a deal with their guy. I mean, the whole idea of them trading him, I think clearly at one point they were willing to do it. There's reportedly a deal, and I saw Diana Rossini talking about this last night, saw multiple people talking about this last night. Apparently the deal on the table was to send Ayuk to Pittsburgh and then kind of involve in a three-team trade with the Broncos, and Cortland Sutton would be the one eventually coming back to San Francisco.
To the Niners, yeah.
Yeah, and that all got shut down.
I think they're better off like this.
I think they are too. And look, they're clearly, especially if they can work out the Trent Williams situation, which it sounds like they're going to, they're clearly going to be the favorite in the NFC. It's going to be them and Detroit probably as your top two, just like it was last year. So we'll see what that ends up looking like. But, you know, the way these deals have played out is interesting. Like, I think we all knew at some point CeeDee Lamb was going to get paid. Like, CeeDee Lamb is so important to what they do. He caught like 140 balls last year, and he gets his money. Ayuk, I thought for a minute he was going to get traded. Ja'Marr Chase, like, it makes all the sense in the world for him to get his deal. Now I'm interested to see where the number lands with him. Like, is he right there with Jefferson? What does it end up looking like for Ja'Marr Chase? That's going to be interesting because it will come in higher than Ayuk. I would be stunned if it didn't.
Ja'Marr Chase should have the best. Ja'Marr Chase is, even if you think Jefferson's a little better than him, I think it's really close. But he's the guy who, okay, you have the latest deal. You should at least have a dollar more than the last guy. You should have the top deal. And I'm sure that's what they think. And maybe the Bengals are notoriously cheap. So
they are.
So they may disagree. But he's a guy who I think absolutely gets the top deal for however long that lasts.
They're going to take some out of, like, Burrow's check. Like, hey, Joe, we need to borrow, like, a couple mil from your check. Cool with that?
Maybe. I mean, they already have the coaches doubling as scouts. And they'll say, oh, no, you're not going anywhere. You're not going on vacation. You're scouting now, buddy. Get in there. Get in the film room.
Didn't you see that? PTO doesn't exist anymore, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Not doing it.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. It's kind of amazing, like, that they've had success. I mean, they've had a lot of stretches of not success, but that they've had success given what people say about the cheapness there.
You talk about a place that needs a new stadium. That one's a little bit of a dump.
But it's not that old,
is
it?
It's not that old, but it's just a little bit of a dump.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, it's fine. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just watching from the stands, not a great one.
Not good? Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We are off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. I wonder how much backup quarterback we'll talk at 7 o'clock. Apparently, that's a big theme the last few days.
God. It's like a child.
It's Ron Davenport.
Here, paint this. Here's some water paints.
We'll be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up week one. We'll go through their schedule. I will also get our season predictions for both the Vols and the Commodores. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is college football season, baby. We've made it. One of my happiest times of the year. I'm sure all of yours as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We welcome your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, all program long. Tennessee and Vanderbilt getting things kicked off this weekend. Similar times, by the way. Vanderbilt, an 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow against Virginia Tech. Tennessee, 11:45. Coming up against the Mighty Mocs of Chattanooga. So beyond just the week one stuff, and we're going to get specifically into Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, because last I checked, Tennessee's a 38.5-point favorite. So should take care of business tomorrow. We'll see what that looks like. But that's a big line.
That's a big number.
That's a big line in college football. I want to start, and I'm just going to roll through Tennessee and Vanderbilt's schedule real quick, because I've got predictions in terms of what my expectations are for both of those teams this year. Let's just start with Tennessee because they're kind of right on that bubble right now in terms of the college football playoff, and that's the expectation for a lot of the fan base heading into this year. They're 15 in pretty much every poll heading into the season. And we're going to get to the Danny White stuff here in just a few minutes with his contract extension and all that stuff laid out there yesterday. But Tennessee just kind of rolling through their schedule real quick here. Obviously, they open up against Chattanooga. I think we all feel like they're going to win that game. The NC State game, I think, still remains a pretty interesting one, even though NC State did not look great last night. I got more to say about that at 7:45. Kent State, Oklahoma on the road is the first SEC game. Arkansas on the road, home against Florida, home against Alabama, home against Kentucky, home against Mississippi State. So you got a four-week stretch there. And I shouldn't say 4 week. It's a four-game stretch there. It's 5 weeks where you're just at home. So from the time they travel to Arkansas, they don't travel again until November the 16th against Georgia. So a long time at home there. UTEP and Vanderbilt to close out the season. Joe, I went through it. I've got them at 10-2. I think 10-2 is where they end up. I've got them losing to Alabama and Georgia. Those are my two losses for them this year. I think the Oklahoma game is a toss-up. I think it could go either way. If you picked them 9-3, I think that's a very fair pick for this Tennessee team. I think you're going to see a lot of people pick them to go 9-3. I still think the NC State game remains interesting. And look, we're sitting here looking at a schedule. A lot of times in college football, it doesn't play out the way we think it's going to. But 10-2 is where I have the Vols heading into this year.
I'll go 9-3, and I wish I had a more creative way to get to 9-3, but it's exactly the way you laid it out. I just have them losing to Oklahoma. I have them losing to Alabama, and you know that's like I think both of those. I think that's a toss-up game too, just because it's at home. And right now, I just haven't seen. I'm actually very interested to watch Alabama and its offense and Milroe. They're going to play Keezer's Western Kentucky.
Yes.
Western Kentuckyites on a Saturday night, and I'm interested in that game just to see what Milroe looks like. I mean, I think Milroe could be a Heisman candidate this year, but I think the only game in the schedule where I'm like, yeah, not probably looking great is Georgia. And I tell you what, go ahead.
I can't buy them competing with Georgia until I see it happen.
Yeah.
It has been a bad matchup for them under Heupel.
It has been. Now, Georgia, and I'm not buying any of Kirby Smart's sandbagging. Everything he says, I assume he's sandbagging. But they don't have like eight first rounders on their defense this year. Malachi Starks is a first rounder.
Yeah.
They don't have that. They're rebuilt in the secondary. It's just, you know, you expect them to totally reload. They also, they don't have a great running back. So, I mean, you look at everything about them, they have probably the top quarterback going in the draft. And look, they're still loaded. I'm picking them to win it all. But their schedule is, Tennessee, that is amid a schedule that includes going to Bama, going to Ole Miss, and I think going to Texas, right?
Yeah, they got a rough draw this year. There's no doubt.
So, I mean, how does that factor in? The Tennessee game, amid all that stuff, it's amazing that you look at some of the difference in schedules in the SEC. I mean, look at Texas A&M compared to Georgia. Or Missouri. We've talked about that, right? It's those are cakewalks compared to what some of these teams are having. But, yeah, I'm with you. Until Tennessee, that matchup has just been terrible for them.
Yeah.
And it just looks like a total mismatch. At some point, Tennessee's got to stop the bleeding there and at least be competitive in that game.
Chris says, what about your homers? UT's not that good this year.
Okay. Well, there's some UT fans who would say, 9-3? Screw you.
I mean, they're preseason ranked 15 in the country, man. That doesn't mean anything once the games start playing, but the idea that they, on paper, don't have a good football team would suggest that you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. So, I mean, and if this is a homer pick, I mean, let's go through. Tell me, they could lose to NC State.
Yeah.
I don't think they're losing at Arkansas. Frankly, I understand the history of Florida.
I mean, yeah.
But at home.
They could lose to Florida.
They could. Kentucky at home. Mississippi State
Look, they
at
could,
home.
They could lose a lot of these games. I mean.
They could. But, I mean, the smart money is on them to beat Chattanooga, NC State, Kent State, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi State, UTEP, and Vandy.
I would agree.
So, I don't think that's homerish to pick them to win those games. And then you go to the three big ones.
Exactly. I mean, the three big ones, if you can get one of those, you're probably going to be right there in the conversation of the college football playoff.
I think you'll be in. Yeah.
If you don't drop another one other than one of those three, then you'll definitely be in. Like, if you win every game you're supposed to win and you win one of those big three, you're probably in.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Yes. I thought you were saying that, yeah. And even if you lose three, it's possible.
It is possible.
There's going to be three lost teams hovering around that bubble.
On the Vanderbilt side of things, they get things rolling with Virginia Tech this weekend. I'll roll through theirs real quick. Virginia Tech, Alcorn State at Georgia State, which why they're playing at Georgia State, I don't know, but they are. At Missouri, home against Alabama, at Kentucky, home against Ball State, home against Texas, at Auburn, home against South Carolina, at LSU, and Tennessee. So I've looked at this, and we've talked about this. I think there's a chance that Vanderbilt has improved this year, and I just don't think their schedule is going to allow us to really know it. I've got them 3-9. 3-9 is what I came to. I think Virginia Tech's going to get them. Virginia Tech's almost a two-touchdown favorite. And then they're out of conference games that, quite frankly, you better win. Like, you better beat Alcorn State, Georgia State, and Ball State. You know, could they sneak up and grab somebody in the SEC? Yeah, I think they could. South Carolina, I have no idea what they're going to be this year. South Carolina has been a horrible matchup for them the last few years. They've gotten boat raced by South Carolina. And last year it was particularly bad going on the road down there. So maybe at home you've got a chance to really get in there and compete with them. Auburn's another team where I don't quite know what they're going to be this year, so maybe there's a chance. Kentucky I throw into the mix. But other than that, I mean, Missouri's really good. Alabama's really good. Texas really good. Tennessee, LSU. Like, the schedule for Vanderbilt's not great this year, so I got them at 3-9.
Yeah, there's one of those teams that, I mean, if the SEC computer is going to give a break to anybody, can you maybe look to the guys on the West End?
They did not receive a break.
They did not. I'll give them South Carolina. I'll give them South Carolina and 4-8. Okay, and I just feel like, especially the embarrassment level of last year, that the one arm push-ups are going to be rocking this year, going into that game. It's at home, and I'm not huge on South Carolina this year, so I'll give them that one. And that's the thing. If you do that, what does that mean? So much of this season for them is going to be, one, you got to win those games. Like, you got to win the Alcorn and Georgia State and Ball State games.
If you lose one of those games, it's
not good.
Not good.
I do, I still believe, like, Vanderbilt gives coaches 5 years, or, like, how could anybody ever give anyone 5 years, you know? So I think he's going to get this year and next year, and that'll be five. But, yeah, like, on the bottom line, I can't see improving much. Do they play better? Does the offense look, like, is it as creative and fun as it – are they in a bunch of competitive games at least? I mean, that's – to me, that's like, if you're going to base your evaluation of him and his tenure on their record this year, he's going to get fired, but I don't think he will.
It would be a huge win, not only for him, but for that whole program. If they find a way to win tomorrow, that'd be a big win. And look, Virginia Tech is not Texas. They're not Alabama. Not some of these teams that they're going to see as the year goes on here. But it would be a big win for that program if they could get it tomorrow.
No, it would be. And Virginia Tech,
Some people were picking to make the playoff.
Yeah, they're one of those teams that, and the ACC is kind of like, I mean, it's wide open.
Yep.
So to me, it's like almost any decent ACC team is a playoff contender because champ gets in.
Right.
So actually, Virginia Tech is sneaky interesting. Kyron Drones is a dark horse Heisman candidate quarterback. Watch him tomorrow. But, if you're just around town, you know, I imagine you probably get good seats tomorrow. It's not a bad – might be a pretty fun game to watch between him and then Diego Pavia and what Vanderbilt's doing on offense. You will have to get through the maze of construction, though.
There is that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, good friends. Before I make my point, any game in the South during the day before the middle of September is a total slap in the face of fans for their enjoyment. And frankly, it's a bigger danger to the players than a lot of people realize. It's just, and because of TV, they just stick them anytime they want. So I'm thinking about the fans. Oh, it's going to be miserable. And second, I can explain exactly why they're going to Georgia State. And it's why I've really pulled back a lot on my rooting for Vandy. It's total cheapness. No other SEC team would go to a little game like that. They would pay $1 million or $2 million and have another home game for their team to win. And what they're doing, they're saying, well, if you come here once, we'll come there once and we'll call it even. And they have the money. If you like your coach, you got to give him four home games that he can say, hey, we can go from here and go on. You don't play Virginia Tech, and my gosh, no other SEC team would go to Georgia State. And they've got a good team. They're going to go down there and lose, just like some other games in the past. Hey, thanks. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate you, brother. I mean, I did when the schedule came out. I was like, Vanderbilt's going to Georgia State? All right. That's interesting.
Yeah, he's not wrong. I'm sure that's what it is. It's like that cuts down on – but believe me, Vanderbilt's not alone in doing that. There's plenty of Power 5 teams that have done that, have done deals like that, so they don't have to pay $1.7 mil for someone to come in.
Better not underestimate Georgia State. I've seen what they can do before.
No doubt about that. Someone's mad at me on the YouTube chat about Georgia, ETN. Yeah, is ETN hurt, though? Because
he's not playing. I don't think he's going to be available game one.
Yeah, I agree. ETN is good. I mean, right now, it looks like walk-on Cash Jones may be starting for them against Clemson. So you're right. ETN, whenever he's available, is good. But
we
still
have no depth. There's no doubt.
I still don't think that's – I don't think – maybe I'm wrong. But I don't think he's like one of those – you know, Georgia's had some incredible backs.
Yeah, he's not Todd Gurley. Guys. Yeah. Right. He's a good player. Yeah. He's not Todd Gurley. 6'1", 5".
They had Sony Michel and right. All those guys all together. It's like, how the heck do you have that many great backs on one team?
That's pretty wild. 615-737-1025. Danny White at Tennessee gets a new contract extension, the highest paid AD among the public universities that we keep record of. Is that warranted? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, intern Robert here with you on this Friday morning. Talking some college football, taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, what's up, man? Hey, I've been listening to you since you started. And I will say that's the softest teaser you've ever had. Does Danny White deserve it? What? Absolutely, man. Like, this is – I would say a better one would be, does anybody in the country deserve one more than him? Like, okay. At this point, because – if you look at where they come from, man, to where they are, clear across, like, it wasn't even, like, the laughing stock of the SEC. It was the crying stock. Like, we were all so miserably depressed. Like, it culminated. It started with, like, I hate Lane Kiffin so much. He really started it. Like, he was the voodoo doll, man, for real, that got this thing tipped off. Then we lost Pat. Then we have to fire Bruce. And then it's like, everything's bad. You can't hire a coach. Like, that whole thing. And then he comes in, and it's just stability. Stability straight across the board. The basketball team gets it right. We still haven't fixed the women yet, but I think he will. I believe that he will because he's fixed everything else. So,
well, hold on. What is he? Hold on. What has he fixed? He didn't fix basketball. Rick Barnes was the coach before he got there. He didn't fix baseball. Tony Vitello was the coach before he got there.
Sure, it's been good since he stayed there, though. It hasn't fallen off.
Like, sure, sure.
Elite Eight or whatever, man, that's pretty good. And then his baseball team went, too. So, right, I mean, you can push back because you're supposed to, Joe. You guys are supposed to push back.
Well, he didn't hire those coaches. That's why I'm pushing back. I mean, like, let's give him credit for what he's done and not give him credit for what he hasn't done.
Was he supposed to fire a winning coach and then hire in somebody?
No, but you're giving him credit for coaches who were hired by his predecessors. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that hasn't fallen off and everything else rose to that level. That's what I'm saying.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it.
Dang, we get the dial tone too.
Boom!
Adam's fired up. Well, I mean, look, I think it's a good question. Danny White's been really good. Don't get me wrong. Danny White's been really good. And when it comes to, I think it just kind of comes down to like how much stock you put in the financial aspects. He is a money raiser, a money raising demon. I mean,
yeah.
It really is astounding. But I also think it speaks to the fan base. It speaks to alums. But certainly, he has found every possible revenue stream he can, and they're doing this thing there from the little district that they're building. Yeah. I mean, like from the aspect of raising money and that side, the financial side, he is absolutely elite. So if we are paying ADs. On that, yes, he absolutely should be the highest paid AD in the country. I'm just saying, like, there is still some let's wait and see on him, right? I mean,
yeah,
biggest thing about an AD is your football hire. That is the biggest thing. It's going well right now.
It's going very well right now. Yep.
But it's not, you know, like,
it's not like Arch Saban.
It's not out of this world yet.
Right.
We're going to find out on women's basketball. I mean, I you know, we've talked about Kelly Harper. She was a good, not great coach, and I think maybe, you know, some people didn't think he needed to do what he did when he did. The hire surprised a lot of people in women's college basketball, and I think it's an intriguing hire. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, look, you can't credit him for, like, these coaches who were in place. There were a lot of things that were good that were in place.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, Vitello was hired before he got there. Barnes was hired before he got there. He did bring in Heupel, which I – as we know, at the time that he made that
move. We were huge fans of that move.
Big fans of that move at the time.
I said, this might be the best move of his career.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Don't play the audio.
What was happening. But to your point, like, things are going really well. They've won, I think, overachieved is a light way to put it, their second year when they went 11-2. And we'll see how it goes this year. The recruiting's going well. Things look really good under Heupel at the moment. So we'll see what it ends up looking like. But you're right. Like, it comes down to – what sort of football hire do you make, especially when you're at an SEC school like that? And, you know, eventually there is going to come a time where Rick Barnes is not the head coach anymore for the basketball team. I think he deserves credit for doing whatever needs to be done, you know, to make Vitello the highest paid coach in college baseball. I mean, look, clearly it's an environment right now that is fostering some winning, and clearly resources are not a problem at Tennessee. And whatever, for the most part, these coaches need, Danny White's getting it done for him. So I think he deserves credit for that. I had no problem with the contract extension, which, by the way, goes through 2030. I think he's doing a great job. Now, we'll see. I mean, he's just not had to make that many hires yet. So I still wonder what that's going to look like in all these sports when those times come.
Yeah, and again, it's just, like, to me, the best – I mean, obviously, there's more to it than the football hire, but it really,
that's the big one.
That's how you're judged, and that's how you're fired, or how you get raises, is because you had a great football hire. And I think right now I would call it a very good football hire. I don't know if, like, I mean, great has to be.
Oh, it's got to be a championship.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, even if they would have made the, and of course, again, this is Danny White has nothing to do with them giving up a touchdown every time that Beamer ball got the football and Connor Stallion's information was flowing through the headsets there, you know, or whatever happened that night. But you know, like, if that team makes the playoff, then it probably, we could say it's a great hire, right?
Yeah. Much better the Connor Stallion stuff makes me feel about that game. I was like, oh, so it was just Shane Beamer cheating. Okay.
I mean,
I don't have to actually give him credit. Makes me feel a lot better.
I've tried, like, I really would love to find out more about that. I've tried. There's not I don't know.
Not saying a whole lot?
Nah, I can't find anyone who, you know, can really put their finger on. But, I mean, certainly there's some circumstantial evidence.
Yeah, there is.
That some coaches who were on that Tennessee staff were like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We'll take your thoughts on the Danny White stuff. There is some news that has just come out in the National Hockey League that is just absolutely horrible. We'll get into that.
Horrific.
Coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, intern Robert here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Some rough news this morning in the National Hockey League. The Columbus Blue Jackets, along with the NHL, have put it out there that Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew have passed away. Now, there was a lot of rumors about this last night on social media. Apparently, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds of speculation here, but there was some sort of a bike accident last night in Salem County, kind of in New Jersey, which his family's come from kind of right around that area. They spent a lot of time in Philadelphia. And he talked about that when he signed with Columbus, just kind of how being close to that area was good for him and his family. But Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew have passed away. The Columbus Blue Jackets, this was a statement that they put out. The Columbus Blue Jackets are shocked and devastated by this unimaginable tragedy. Johnny was not only a great hockey player, but more significantly, a loving husband, father, son, brother, and friend. We extend our heartfelt sympathies to his wife Meredith, his children Noah and Johnny, his parents, their family, and friends on the sudden loss of Johnny and Matthew. Johnny played the game with great joy, which was felt by everyone that saw him on the ice. He brought a genuine love for hockey with him everywhere he played, from Boston College to the Calgary Flames to Team USA to the Blue Jackets. Thrilled fans in a way only Johnny Hockey could. The impact he had on our organization and our sport was profound, but pales in comparison to the incredible impression he made on everyone who knew him. It's a pretty long statement. It goes on from there, but this is really rough news. Johnny Hockey passing away with his brother Matthew in a tragic accident apparently last night. So this is obviously terrible. The rumors started flowing about this last night. I saw him right before I went to bed. And, Joe, this was a classic case of hoping that somebody just got something wrong and that this was not true. I mean, the news report was what it was. Like, I mean, there were two people who passed away. So it was a tragic situation regardless of who it ended up being. But now confirmation that it was Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew who have passed away.
It's just shocking. Awful, horrific, hard to fathom. You think about that family. It's obviously Johnny Gaudreau and a great player. You know, he and his brother both in this thing. And, you know, I don't really know what to say other than it's absolutely horrific. I retweeted Mike Russo, who said, "So sickened by this, cannot fathom what their family's going through. Johnny was always the friendliest player to talk to, always smiling and always genuine." Man, you're not ready for stuff like this.
No, no doubt. And, you know, passing away at the age of 31, just a really rough situation there. And I don't know the – look, I don't know. This is one of those situations where I just want to wait and see what happened. I don't know specifically what happened. I don't know how they passed away, but whatever it is, I mean, it's clearly just a tragic situation
out of the
here.
Blue.
At the age of 31, I mean – I don't know what Johnny Gaudreau's summer plans are, but my guess is he's probably right on the verge of heading back to Columbus and getting ready for camp, which starts up here in a few weeks. And for something like this to happen and to pass away alongside your brother is just awful. I talked to Johnny Gaudreau a few times, and he was always really great with his time. And it's just a rough, rough situation when you see something like this.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable. I mean, just I guess one thing that comes to mind, just in terms of the shock level, and maybe the circumstances to some extent was now. Of course, I'm losing his name, the Ohio State quarterback from a few years ago.
Yeah. Why am I losing his name too?
Yeah, but. Just, you know, whatever exactly happened. But obviously it's just out of the blue, and it sounds like some kind of an accident. And
yeah, Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, thank you. Gosh, Dwayne Haskins, which I know that there was a lot more to that situation and everything. I'm not comparing them in any way other than, you know, it's one of those you wake up and you're like, what? How could that be possible?
Right.
So just, you know, I mean, thoughts, prayers. That family, it's just, you know, think about his kids. It's just awful.
Yeah, awful stuff. And look, you know, on the ice, he was a that combo in Calgary of Gaudreau and Tkachuk, it was electric. I mean, they were unbelievable together, especially those like last couple of years there. They were, I mean, you're putting up 100 points. They were great. You know, he chooses to go to Columbus, which is a big deal for that team. Like, that team has been
surprise.
You know, it was, yeah, they basically came out of nowhere in the free agent pursuit of him. You know, everybody felt like it was a pretty good idea that he was leaving Calgary. So, I mean, there are a lot of teams lined up for him. And for him to, like, actively choose Columbus, that was in some ways, even though it's probably – it's not quite the same, but, you know, the first thing I thought of when that happened was like, all right, well, that's like their Paul Kariya moment, like a great player in the prime of his career actively choosing to go there. Nobody had really done that before with Columbus, so that was kind of their moment. And I know, like, on the ice, it didn't work out great the last couple of years there, but, I mean, this is just awful, awful situation. And it's one of those things, too, where – you know, it just kind of shows you how short life can be sometimes. I mean, you're taking – if the reports are accurate – and again, I don't want to get too far into the reports because I want to wait for some confirmation on some things, but the reports are they're out riding a bike, like just out riding a bike, and you just don't ever think that something like that's going to end in tragedy.
No, not at all. See, now it's ESPN has broken into their arguing to talk about this now too. So yeah, I mean, this is, I'm trying to think of the, you don't have a lot of these, you know, just out of the blue. I mean, it's funny because not funny, but like this week, of course, we had the release of the McNair documentary. It's another one of those where like, you're just like, how is this, how could this be possible? And the whole world kind of stops for a minute to be shocked by it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's really not a great way to transition from this thing. I'm going to wait to see the details that come out as to how this all took place. But it's just a horrible situation. Like, I just feel so bad for his wife and their kids and their parents who've now lost two sons at the same time. It's just, I can't even really imagine going through something like that. So, Johnny Gaudreau passing away at the age of 31. The Columbus Blue Jackets put that out. The NHL has come out with a statement as well. Gary Bettman has released a statement through the National Hockey League as well. So Johnny Gaudreau and his brother passing away. And obviously you're talking about, you know, a great player. But like I said, I mean, from his time in Calgary to what he's done in Columbus to this point, really good person, very popular guy around the NHL too. Got a lot of friends around the NHL, and that's why this started to kind of break loose on Twitter last night, because there were some guys that either played with him or played against him, I think even back in his minor days, that started to hear the news, I guess. And just one of those things that you were hoping against hope that wasn't true, and then confirmation this morning that it is. So Johnny Gaudreau passing away at the age of 31. As more information becomes available and we get more details as to – what exactly happened there, we'll be sure to pass those along whenever you get it. We will be joined by Jared Stillman coming up next. We'll get into the Titans with him. We'll get into maybe a little college football with him as well. We'll take your thoughts as we do all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.